Turn in our Bibles back to Jeremiah. Be back in the second chapter of Jeremiah in today. Be reading beginning at verse 9 and go down through verse 13. If we give this a title, I would title it Defining Idolatry and the Consequences Thereof. Jeremiah says, or rather, I guess he says it, but it's God that tells him what to say, right? But wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. The issue with Israel, the issue in this case with Judah, is idolatry. From first to last, the issue has been idolatry with them, and indeed the issue with the human race has been idolatry. The first commandment still is and always will be, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all of thy soul. The issue still is that thou shalt have no other gods before me. I told you a while ago that there is a what is called a museum of idolatry. I don't know who the person is that has it on the internet. It is a website. That's what he is doing. He is showing the foolishness of modern day professed Christianity. And I'm just going to read you a few of these things that he's got on his internet. One of them is a stylish baptism. And this lady is out there and she is showing how you can really enhance and make your baptism lovely. And I won't go into all the details. I haven't got time to do that. Another one is prophetic tattoo and piercing interpretation. Imagine that. Another one is a potato Jesus Halloween costume. Another one is using the Simpsons praise song. Another one has, Southwestern Baptist Seminary has a picture in a stained glass window of Rick Warren. Another one is using Hawaii 6-0 and they're acting it out on the stage in the name of Christianity. David and Nicole Crank, they are such great and wonderful, benevolent people that they have two houses. They are co-pastors of this particular church or whatever you want to call it. They've got two houses that's over $1,200,000 apiece. A lady by the name of Lenny Walker, She has a website that says dunamis.org, and I don't know what that stands for. But she's telling about seeing these white, floaty, comet-like ions. And these are supposed to be good ions, and you're supposed to share those ions with other people, make them feel good, and so forth and so on. Now, understand now, we're not talking about the world. We're talking about all this is in the name of religion now. So don't misunderstand that. The Cross Point Church was celebrating their 10th year anniversary, and on this man's website, he's going to show this video of them celebrating their anniversary, and he's got a question up there. He said, "What's missing?" And you look in there, and they got this rock band up there, and they're going, you couldn't tell it from a hard rock band, but what was missing? There's no pulpit, no preaching, no Bible. Cults, money medley. You got this couple up there, a man and a woman, and they're singing these songs. And in their songs, they are pushing people to give money. Patricia Keene, she has a site there that she's telling about her werewolf encounter. And how this man she was talking to started growing fangs, and his ears started growing, and she cast the demon out of him. I'm telling you. Ron Jeremy's church experience. Now, most of you probably don't know who Ron Jeremy is. But he's, according to this guy, and according to his testimony, even himself, he's one of these porn kings, like, what's the...
Oh, yeah, he's been on Hugh Hefner before.
Huh? Yeah, Hugh Hefner, and there's another couple of them, I don't even remember the name. But that's who he is. But they had him in church giving his testimony. Patricia King, again, she must be pretty popular. He had two of her on there. One, this next one was her uncontrollable spiritual laughter. Another one had Michael Jackson's song. I guess it's a song called Thriller. You know, that was in there. They were acting all of that out in their church service. Mr. Shane Hipps says Jesus doesn't claim Christianity as his own, and the church by the Glades, they have a song. This lady's up there singing "Save the World." And all it is, again, is another rock band. And in the midst of it, and I don't know what that's all about, but in the midst of it, they set pauses, and it has the Gangnam Style, which, you know, I don't know really what it was. I don't know. But it's all worldliness. And then he finally ended it up, and I thought that was pretty appropriate. He ended it up with Paul Couch. So, but this is the Museum of Idolatry. That's just one thing. He says he's got 1,500 items in there. Well, at least he was honest about his. But people... What am I saying this for? The reason we're going through the book of Jeremiah again is because that I believe that our times parallel. They're totally in agreement with the times that Jeremiah prophesied in. And that time that Jeremiah prophesied in was a time of idolatry, where not the world so much was the problem, not their idolatry, but those that name the name of God. They were idolaters. Now, have to remember, though, that they did all of this in the name of worshiping God, the true God. And that's where the biggest problem was. Idolatry is never pleasing to God, but the worst part of it is that God's people, the ones at least that profess Him as their God and their Father, are involved in idolatry. And that's what our text is saying. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no God? But my people have changed their glory into that which doth not profit. Now here's what the Lord says. On account of that, He says, be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. Do we need to have some fear about us today because of idolatry? Well, first of all, let me give you what Webster's 1828 dictionary says about idolatry. It says it's the worship, the way it defines it, is the worship of idols, images, or anything made by hands or which is not God. It says there's two kinds, the worship of images, statues, pictures, so forth, made by hands, worship of the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, the stars, or of demons, angels, men, or animals. And then it says, excessive attachment or veneration of anything or that which borders on adoration. So where does that bring us? It brings us to this point. Yes, that anything that we put before God becomes an idol. It doesn't matter what it is or who it is. If we put it before God. And folks, that's the reason that, what commandment is it? Remember the Sabbath? To do what? To keep it holy. If we do not remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, if we go off on something else, then what have we done? We've become a worshiper of idols. Now the Lord has made allowance, again, for what? The ox and the ditch. But as I've said in the past, we have to be careful. You know, the heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Did you know that? Do you really know that? Do I really know that? Do I really believe that my heart is desperate above all things? Desperately wicked? Do I really believe that? I better. Do you know that he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool? What? How can we fool ourselves? Do you begin to see, though, here's what I want us to see and understand. Do you begin to see how easy it is to become, well, let me rephrase that. Do you see how easy it is to fall into the error of worshiping an idol? Now, let me clarify something here. There is a difference, of course, between worshiping an idol and being an idol worshiper. Does that make sense? What I'm saying is, it's a difference between being a sinner and committing a sin. Surely we can and do commit sin, but we're not sinners if we are reconciled to God. I'll use that because it's been good this morning. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes, again, we fall for this worshiping of an idol, and that is a sin. But we're not necessarily idol worshipers. In other words, that is not our bent. We don't do that habitually, but we have to be careful that we don't do it in times of our weakness, in times of our ignorance. Again, we were talking about this yesterday. You know, there's no excuse for not knowing the law. There's no excuse for not knowing the law of God. Well, all right, let's go on. Let me read this again. The worship of idols, images, or anything made by hands or which is not God. The worship of images, statues, pictures, so forth, made by hands. Worship of the heavenly bodies, the sun, moon, stars, even demons, angels, right? Men or animals. Or excessive attachment or veneration of anything or that which borders on adoration. Oh, I adore my wife, or my husband, or my child. Well, you know, we can say things like that, and sometimes, you know, it's just hyperbole. But sometimes it's true. We have to be careful that we don't adore or venerate someone or something above God. Because there is nothing or no one that is worthy of our worship but the Lord Himself. There is no creature that's worthy of worship by another creature. We're all on an even footing there. It is the Creator And of course, when we say that, what immediately comes to mind? The first chapter of Romans. They worship the creature more than the Creator, who is God blessed forever. So this is what we're considering when we talk about idolatry. Idolatry is to forget God. Because in order to forget God, something else is going to have to take His place. All right. Deuteronomy. Turn with me over to Deuteronomy. We're going to begin with chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. In verse 23, he says, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make you graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." Now remember, we said if we would title this, it would be to define idolatry and the consequences thereof. We've got both of them here, right? And here's what it is. It is to forget God, because if you forget God, believe me, you have got an idol or idols in your heart. You're going to worship. The question is, who will you worship or what? The rest of it is, or is that? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, he says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments." Now, okay, now listen to me. Here's what he's saying, in essence, that if you do not keep His commandments, you have done what? You've forgotten God. "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein." Are we talking about America here? "And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna which thy fathers knew not, that He might humble thee and that He might prove thee to do the good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, My power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods." You'll find this over and over and over. Those two things are eminently connected together. If forgetting God and worshiping idols. Used to be an old song, you know, about love and marriage. You can't have one without the other. Of course, that's all gone by the wayside, hasn't it? But here is one time it's true. You can't have one without the other. If you worship God, you won't worship idols. But if you worship idols, you can't worship God. They are always, that's always connected. It shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day. Now here's the consequence, right? That ye shall surely perish. You shall surely perish. Chapter 9, verse 7. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord. Imagine that. Also in Horeb, ye provoked the Lord to wrath, so the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you. When I was going up into the mountain to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water, and the Lord delivered unto me 2 tables of stone written with the finger of God, and on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spoke with me, you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the 2 tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. And the Lord said unto me, arise and get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them, and they have made them a molten image. Amazing, isn't it? Just absolutely amazing. Well, turn with me over to the New Testament. We always got to prove the Old Testament by the New Testament, right?
They stood all in the mountains on fire.
Yeah. In the very presence, as it were, of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world. Paul told them not to company with these fornicators and so forth. He says, not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. Now it's true that as long as we live in this world, these things are going to be around us, aren't they? They're here. That's one of the reasons that John said, 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, I believe it is, he says, all the world lieth in wickedness. And you know what it all stems from? Idolatry. You understand that all sin stems from, the root of it is idolatry. When Satan said, I will ascend above the throne of God, what was that? That was pride. But what is pride? It's idolatry, isn't it? It's idolatry. When Adam and Eve decided to eat of that fruit of that tree, what was it? It was pride. What?
Yeah, it was a beautiful tree,
isn't it? It was a beautiful tree, yeah. It was good to look at and desirable, and it was good for food. But it was idolatry because they put themselves in the place of God. They forgot God. Sir? Eye trouble? Yeah. A big eye, right? Right. That is it. That's the reason God hates I wills, except when He says it. Because it's idolatry. It's all idolatry. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or railer, or a drunkard, or extortioner with such an one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, there's the consequences, right? There's always consequences to idolatry. Well, okay, now that we see that God talks about idolatry in the New Testament as well as He does the Old Testament, He talks about idolatry under the covenant of grace, right? As well as the covenant of the law. Is there a difference? No, it's the same idolatry, and it's the same sin. And let me say it again, that all sin, the root of it, is idolatry. You either worship God, or you worship something. But you cannot. Can you? You cannot serve both God and mammon. You can't. Remember that we need to remember that it just doesn't work. 2 Kings chapter 13. Verse 11, he says, and he, talking about Jehoash, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of who? Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, but he walked therein. Now, what was the sin? What was the sin of Israel under Jeroboam? Right. That's where it all started, wasn't it? With Israel. Behold, Israel, thy gods. Because it's too hard for you to go up to Jerusalem. Right? Well, you know what? The world is full of professed Christians today that it's too hard for them to worship God. And so they've made their own God. But they call Him by the name of Jehovah. Now they call Him by the name of Jesus. But folks, He's a different God. Beware. Beware. Just because they call Him Jesus doesn't mean that they're worshiping the Jesus who is the Son of God and the Son of Man. Verse 14, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died, and Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over him, over his face, and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. I don't know where I got that. That's not, I'm in the wrong chapter then. Chapter 14, verse 24. I was reading verse 14 there, but I was in the wrong chapter. chapter 14, verse 24, and what we're going to see here is, again, is how that the kings of Israel, they all followed the sin of Jeroboam. That's my point here. Chapter 14, verse 24, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. Chapter 15 and verse 18, same thing. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not all his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. You understand my point that idolatry is the root of this sin. Mammonism. Worldliness. It's the root of all sin. What we need to learn here. Go back to 1 Corinthians then. We've already read there how Paul warned us about these fornicators and covetous and idolaters and drunkards and extortioners and so forth. And then in chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now he says, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. All of these, but see, idolatry is right in there with them. And I think we're going to see that idolatry, again, is the root. That all of these are, in essence, forms of idolatry, and especially as it pertains to covetousness. But I hurry on. Chapter 8 and verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto what? Idols. Now, the Apostle Paul, and listen to me now, are you immune from idolatry? Are we immune from idolatry? Who is he in the world is he talking to here? He's not talking to those heathens out there. He's talking to the church at Corinth. And what does he say? Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge, but what happens? Knowledge puffeth up. But charity edifieth. Now, we don't have time to linger there a whole lot, but coming on over to chapter 10 then, in verse 7, chapter 10, verse 7, he says, neither be ye idolaters. Now, the context of this statement is set in Israel in the wilderness, isn't it? But the context within the whole letter of 1 Corinthians, the context of it is from chapter 8, verse 1, all the way down through chapter 10, verse 33. He's still talking about idolatry. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Well, I thought their sin was making a golden calf. Well, it was. But it's all done in eating and drinking. You see, what I'm trying to establish is to make the connection between all of these things, eating and drinking and dancing and playing and, you know, and all of this worldliness and fleshliness and carnality. And I'm trying to make a connection between all these things and idolatry. And I want us to continue to remember what is wrong with our country. It's the problem, the root of the problem is not Obama. That's the result of the problem. The root of the problem is idolatry. Verse 14, we won't have time to read all of these, but verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Verse 19, what say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? No, it's not. Then why do it? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. So again, folks, we cannot worship God and devils. We've got to make a clear choice. Is it God or is it idol? All right, Galatians chapter 5, and most of you are going to know already what this one is, but in chapter 5, verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the like. Now here's a consequence again. All the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, hold your finger there, because we're going to go to Ephesians in just a moment. But go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15. In verse 23, he says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and, what's the next word? Idolatry. See, again, we're trying to connect these dots here. You see, just because in the New Testament, he uses both terms. For instance, in this fifth chapter of Galatians, he uses the term witchcraft, and he also uses the term idolatry right next to one another, but he uses the two terms. But in the Old Testament, under the law, as they would say, the covenant of the law, he says, you know, this witchcraft and stubbornness, it's idolatry. But why? Well, I think we can understand why witchcraft would be classified as idolatry, but what about stubbornness? Well, what is stubbornness? It's the opposite of being reconciled to God, isn't it? Yeah, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care. Nobody can tell me. You know, the sad thing is, you know, that a lot of times we tell people things. Tell them what the Word of God says. And what do they say? Oh, I don't believe that. You know, God wouldn't be like that. Yeah. Well, that's your interpretation. Well, it's not my interpretation. It's not your interpretation. It's God's interpretation. But let's be careful. Have we ever done that ourselves? Are we guilty of it more often than we realize? But you understand, rebellion, the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness, is iniquity and adultery. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also, what? Rejected thee from being king. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness or foolish talking nor jesting which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man. Now, what's the next three words? Or four words, I guess it is. Isn't it? Who is an idolater? Hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, or Christ, and of God? Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Going back up to verse 3 then, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness. Now note this little word, or. It seems to say that this fornication and uncleanness is the same as covetousness. Covetousness is just another way of saying the same thing. It's amazing. Colossians chapter 3 in verse 5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. Now, again, inordinate affection falls under the category of excessive attachment or veneration of anything or that which adores or borders on adoration. Right? That's inordinate affection. Well, that's the definition of idolatry. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, here's the consequence. For which things' sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now, it says, in the which we also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filth, communication out of your mouth, and so forth and so on. So, here is the thing. Again, we're talking in Jeremiah's day, he was prophesying to Israel. But I want us to understand this, that we are Gentiles, and it was habitual, natural for Gentiles to worship idols. That's all they knew, in fact. Because they were aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, right? Without hope and without God in the world. So what were they going to do? They were naturally inclined to worship idols.
They were created.
Yes. Well, let's look at this for a moment then, just quickly. Matthew chapter 6. Now, again, what I'm trying to do, again, is to get us to think we need, again, to examine ourselves Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. We've already mentioned that, haven't we? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat. Now, here's a connection, isn't it? We're still in the same context, right? But what is the main concern of nearly everybody today? Doesn't matter whether it's in the church or out of the church, the main concern is just what he's saying here. It is what we shall eat, or what you shall drink, or yet for your body what you shall put on. Now here's a question. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now look at this next one. For after all these things do who seek? The Gentiles. Are we yet Gentiles? Not if we've been born into the kingdom of Israel. But will we do like Israel? Will we make unto ourselves a golden calf? Or worse? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is what? The evil thereof. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 again. Let's go back. In verse verse 20. I guess I better get in 1 Corinthians first. Verse 20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot partake of the Lord's table or the table of the devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Chapter 12 and verse 2. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and been taught up by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And what is lust? Paul said, except the Lord had said, or the law had said, ye shall not covet, I had not known what? Lust. Chapter 5. We could read on down, but we won't for time's sake. But you ought to read that because it's all in the same context there. Chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. In other words, again, put off the old man and be followers of God as dear children. You're not idolaters anymore. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, here's that little word "or" again. Let it not be once named among you as become as saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks, for you, this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person, a covetous man who is an idolater, hath the inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And finally, 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 3, for the time past of our life may have sufficed us to have wrought the will of who? Of the Gentiles. What was the will of the Gentiles then? It was when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquets, and abominable idolatries. Amazing, isn't it? Covetousness is to desire inordinately. The opposite, what is the opposite? What's the opposite of to desire inordinately? What about contentment? What about to distribute? Hoarding. What is hoarding? Is that not to desire inordinately? But to distribute then is the opposite, right? What about giving? Is that not the opposite of inordinate desire? For it is still more blessed to what? To give than it is to receive. Do you believe that? I believe we do. But you know, there still is a perfection to be gained, isn't there? I do not believe that we are idolaters, but I do believe that we, especially having been born and raised and have lived in this culture, that we just may have more of this inordinate affection for this world than we ought to have. I want to love the Lord my God with all of my heart, with all my soul, with all of my might. May God give us that Spirit of Jesus, whose meat was to do the will of Him that sent Him. Folks, that is fulfillment. Idol worship is vanity. But to worship God is fulfillment.